James chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. Judging now, you just say, today or tomorrow, we shall go into such a city and continue therein a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. For as you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye also say, as the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
Evening, brother. Evening. Anyone clear? I'm telling you. This is not going to be a 30-minute sermon. I've been working on this for a while. I've been going over and over and over. Been so nervous. I know people say, Nick, you don't look nervous. You don't sound nervous. But I am, okay? I went over this so many times, I made myself hoarse. So I had to bring some water with me. It's a topic that I thought about since I was young. When I was 12 or 13 years old, the first time I ever came in contact with the Lord's Church. And one of the sermons, the first ones I ever heard, was one of the scriptures that Cal brought up this morning, Hebrews 9:27. It says that it's appointed for man to die once, after this, the judgment. And I thought about that when I was that age. I thought, okay, we're going to die, but then there's going to be judgment. So in my mind, I thought, okay, I'm going to die, then there's judgment. So right away, I'm going to know if I'm going to heaven or if I'm not. And of course, later on, when you go into classes and stuff, okay, well, wait a minute now. Unless the Lord comes while you're still alive, when you die, it's going to be a pretty time until the judgment day. I said, why is that? I said, because God the Father is the only one that knows when the end of time is going to be. So I thought about that and I said, I wonder what happens. I mean, if I'm going to die, and then it's a period of time before the judgment. I think back into Adam and Eve, there's Moses. These people, Abraham, they've been dead for centuries. What about this period of time that they had between when they died and when the Lord comes again, resurrection day? I thought about this and I thought, you know, they say that when someone dies, they're asleep. Okay? You go visit someone at the funeral home, you see that they look like they're asleep. So in my mind, I said, okay, I think I know what happened. When I die, it's going to be like when I get home, Dad has a lot of work for me to do or sports, and I'm dead tired. And I lay down in bed, I put my head on the pillow, and I go to sleep right away. It might be 8 hours, and I wake up. And you say, how long have I been asleep? 7, 8 hours. You know, I don't remember a thing. It just went by. I thought, but that's what it is. And when I die, I'm going to sleep. I'm going to be asleep until the Lord decides it's time for resurrection and for the judgment. Is that what it is? I kept thinking about that, and then in classes, remember Jesus' transfiguration. What happened? He was talking to Elijah, Moses. I thought, wait a minute. These guys have been dead for centuries. They're supposed to be asleep. So boy, I messed it up. Now I don't know what to think. And all this time I keep trying to find out what happened. By the way, that's my topic. What happens with our souls when we die? I wanted to know that forever. So we go to, you try to ask people, you try to find out, and really, there's no real good answer for me. It's a topic that I'm hoping that the elders, Kyle, when some of you men will bring up, maybe in a sermon, maybe in just a talk or a class on this topic, to try to clarify what actually happens when we die. we know that we have a soul and it's going to live beyond this life. But what happens after we die? Deuteronomy 29:29 says that the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us. God doesn't answer all the questions that we want to ask, does he? Like, God, where did you come from? How can you be from everlasting to everlasting? Does he answer that question for us in his word? No. The secret things belong to God, but those things that are revealed belong to us. But in 2 Peter 1:3, it tells us that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything we need, God gives us in his word, according to life and godliness. We have to go to God for answers. You know, TV and movies, they made movies about people that have died and what they think would happen after they die. Like some child to die, someone to die, and they give us a sin that our imagination starts going and we think, this is just somebody's thought of what comes after we die. John read James 4:13-17 for us. Thank you, John. I look at this scripture and I think, these people taking their life for granted. Let's go to this place for a year, make money, come back. But we are not guaranteed any time. So yes, we should say, if the Lord will, we will be there. But then the scripture also says that our life is but a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Physical death separates the body from the spirit. The good news is that while death is a separation, that it's not the end of our existence. It doesn't end there. Ecclesiastes 12:7 tells us that the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. When we die, our spirit will return to God who made us. God is the Father of spirits. Hebrews 12:9 tells also that our souls are not physical, they're not material, not destroyed by physical death. Do you remember on the cross, I'm sure, in Luke 23:43, when Jesus is talking to the thief on the cross, he says, truly, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. The Lord clearly says that we'll survive and be conscious beyond this life, because the Lord expected to see the thief in paradise that very day, which of course he did. So we have this inner spirit that survives death and is conscious. Life here and now is not all that there is. It's appointed once for men to die and then the judgment. But what happens? The time between the death and judgment? Death is a mysterious thing. It's actually an unknown thing, which can be frightening to us. I mean, we worry about whether our afterlife is going to be one of peace or not. Jesus doesn't tell us in Matthew 7. He does tell us in Matthew 7 that we are to enter by the narrow gate. Wide is the gate, easy is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the gate, hard is the way that leads to eternal life, and few there will be that find it. But the Lord gives us also a glimpse of what happens after death. Luke 16:19-31, I want to read it. Sal read some of it this morning, but I want to read all of it, 19-31, which says, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, and was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Abraham said, Son, you remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and you are tormented. Besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, and those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those pass to us. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, would you send him to my father's house? For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one comes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to them, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. It tells us in this that Lazarus died and was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man died also, and he was buried. But in Hades, the Bible says, he lifted up his eyes and torment. Many people think that this is just a parable, a fanciful story. It shouldn't be taken seriously. But you know, Jesus never spoke about trivial matters. And any time he uses a figurative speech or a parable, he does so to emphasize a point. Father, we take the story. People will face two different destinies when they die. One, filled with comfort, and on the other, agony. Lazarus and the rich man, though, both knew where they were. They knew, they could reason, they handled intelligent conversation. You know, both could remember their time on the earth. In Philippians 1, 21 and 23, Apostle Paul says, it would be better if he were to die and be with Christ. Scripture uses the word Hades to describe the unseen world, the unseen realm, where the disembodied spirits of the dead people go. Hades means unseen. Hades shouldn't be confused with hell, though. Hades is a temporary place where the spirits reside until the judgment day. Hell is eternal. No one's going to enter the promised heaven or the eternal hell until after the resurrection and judgment. At the resurrection, our spirits are going to return to earth and be joined with, in 1 Corinthians 15:53 says, a new immortal body. Acts 2:27, speaking of Jesus, says, For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. And God didn't. God took Jesus' soul from Hades to paradise, where Jesus said he was going to be when he was on the cross with the thief. But we see that Hades must contain a place where the righteous are comforted. At our death, our spirit is going to be carried by angels to this Hadean world to either be in comfort or torment. I have no doubt in my mind at the time that we die, we are going to know which side of this great gulf we're going to be on. We will be awake. We're going to know. We're going to remember our life on this earth. And we only have now
to prepare for our eternity.
Right now is all we have.
Now remember in Hebrews 10:31 it tells us that indeed, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Our God is loving. Our God's love is long-suffering. That He is just. And He will judge justly. We have only now to prepare. If we're not members of the Lord's church, we must obey His plan of salvation. To hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized for the remission of our sins, but we must live faithfully. Live faithfully until our death. Thank you, brother.